Good morning, good morning. How many of us are ready to worship this morning? Let's all stand on our feet and just get ready to worship. And because our God is so great. He's so great. I love every Sunday coming up here and worshiping. Every Sunday. So I just want to sing this song today. It's called Our God.
What are you turning to wine? Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no like you.
A desire for certain thing to happen. A feeling of trust, like a private friendship. Do you have hope in the Savior today? Do you have hope in Jesus today? Do you have that private friendship with the Lord? And I love the first meaning of hope. A feeling of expectation, a desire for a certain thing to happen. Let me tell you a little bit about somebody else's hope today. We all had hope for her. Diane Bazemore. Diane Bazemore got a call Friday night at 11 o'clock and said, "How quick can you be to the hospital?" Now, we all know that Diane's been praying for God to heal her. But God chose a different avenue for healing and provided a kidney for her. So by Saturday morning at lunchtime, Diane was having that new kidney placed in. Amazing, amazing. Was it the way we thought God would do it? Probably not. But isn't it amazing that God is not a God that we can put in a little box? That he can heal us the way he chooses? Be thankful today that Diane was in ICU and they're moving her to a room today. We're so thankful and appreciative of your prayers for her. She was sharing, "I know everybody has been agreeing with me. I know everybody's been praying for me. I know everybody's been believing with me and hoping with me." But isn't it interesting? When we keep our hope alive in Jesus, he can bring things to pass that we never thought. It might not be our route. It may not be our plan. It may not be the way we thought he would do it. But doesn't he do it? Isn't it wonderful that God keeps that hope alive in us? But we have to have that relationship with him to be able to walk in that hope. I'm sure there were days that Diane's body was saying, "This is not good. This is not good. This is not good." But her hope stayed in Christ. Even when the physical things were going on, even with the dialysis, she kept her hope in the Lord. And we are thankful with her today for God's provision. We're so thankful. Let's give praise today. His hope keeps us alive. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you that we do have the testimonies, that we do have your hope in us. God, you've provided that faith in us, that hope in us. But Lord, as we stand on it, as we exercise it, Lord, it's increased. It grows. It doesn't stay the same size. So Lord, thank you today that our hope is increased with Diane's testimony. We give you praise. We give you thanks for bringing her through this difficult time, healing her body, allowing everything to align itself and balance itself. And we give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, there are people sitting here amongst us, our family, that are also holding on to your hope. Sometimes it may seem difficult. Sometimes even we may realize our hope is so small. But Lord, help us, Lord, to allow your increase in us. Help us, Father, to move forward in our hope, our faith in you, our trust in you. Lord, we give you praise for those that are sitting here that may need an extra healing, that may need finances, that may need a change of lifestyle, a freedom from an addiction. Lord, for those that are praying for their children and their children's children. Lord, for the generations to come behind us. Father, we pray that you would just continue to bring that to fruition. Lord, we have hope in you. We thank you, Father, that you are God. We thank you, Lord, that you know the whole plan and not just the tiny part that we're praying for right now. You know our future. You know what's good for us and that you desire that good. We give you praise. We give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Good morning, CSIC. It's so good to see you. And if you're a guest with us today, we hope that you will meet us in the foyer. There's a little welcome center right there in the foyer that we would love to connect with you, get a little information about you, and give you some information about us. So nice that you're here, and isn't it good to be with family? It is, it is. Speaking of family, we were blessed this week with Josh and Cassandra's new baby. Came a little early, and Cassandra was so happy. 7 pounds, 7 ounces, born on the 7th. And she is number 7 in Joshua's clan. We're so thankful that God is good and he gives us the increases. Pastor and I have been praying a lot of years for these grandbabies, and they're coming, and we're so thankful for that. Now I want to get on a plane and go see that thing face to face and not just with FaceTime. It's so good to live a life with Jesus. It's so good to acknowledge his goodness to us, his blessings to us, his encouraging blessings in our lives, is it? I know some of y'all have some too, and I want to hear them. So make sure you grab me after the service and tell me your good things that's going on. Pastor Mike is back. Bonnie's happy. She's sitting there all content and not alone today. From a long, long trip in Africa, we're so thankful and grateful for his ministry and God's calling on his life. So good. At this time, we're going to give and worship through our giving. Our buckets are up here at the front. If you have something to give, you can come forward. And Brittany's going to sing a song for us. I'm going to read a scripture, Brittany, if you don't mind. The scripture is from 1 Peter 1:15. And I'm going to read it from the MSG. Whoops. As obedient children, who likes obedient children? Don't we? Don't we love when our children are obedient? Don't you think God just smiles when we're obedient? Amen. As obedient children, let yourselves be pulled into a way of life shaped by God's life, a life energetic and blazing with holiness. Because he is holy, he has called us to a life of holiness.
Amen. How many of us know that when we stand before a holy God? I want to read a scripture as well. Exodus chapter 3 verse 5 says, when God spoke to Moses in the burning bush, he said, take off your shoes, for the place you are standing is holy ground.
We are standing. Thank you.
Oh, praise the Lord. Can you stand to your feet this morning? Come on, stand to your feet one more time. I wonder what it's like for you when you look at the Lord, when you think about, well, today I'm going to church, or today I'm going to worship. Or I wonder what it's like for you even when you sit in this room. Or maybe if you're watching online, I wonder what it's really like for you. I think in America, I think we've become very comfortable. I think church has become routine and mundane, and sometimes if we're not careful, we'll miss that moment of God's awe. We'll miss that moment of respect and sincere vision of who God is. You know, Moses, when he was there that day, he looked across and he saw something on fire. That wasn't uncommon. It's a dry climate. Man, I've been there many times. It's a dry, dry, dry climate. As a matter of fact, Israel experiences about 3 or 4 inches of rainfall a year. Did you hear what I said? I said, we get that in a gully washer. Come on. You've been through a 3-inch rain. But to think that you get that annually, it's a dry climate. And it's not uncommon to see a bush catch on fire. But it is uncommon to see a bush catch on fire and not be consumed. So Moses goes over and he says, I must see what's going on here. There's something unique. There's something different. There's something awe-inspiring about this bush that is on fire, but it's not being destroyed. And he goes over and he has a divine encounter with God and says, hey, sir, take your shoes off because where you're standing is holy. You're in my presence. You're in my presence. And sometimes I think we're so guilty of coming to God's house and coming to a place of worship and just going through the motions. Well, I don't like that song. That's not my favorite. You're not here for you. You're here for Him. You're here to show Him His glory. You're here to show Him His value and His worth. Take off your shoes today. Take off your shoes. Take off your attitude. Take off anything that hinders you from seeing God as holy as you ought to see Him. Come on. Come on, Father, we bless You. We praise You that where we stand today is holy ground. We've dedicated this property, this facility, this time, this moment, God, to worshiping You, to declaring Your worth. And I pray, Lord, that You would meet us here. That You would meet us here, God. Empower us, equip us. God, give us a moment where we see You the way we really should have seen You all along. You are the God that does not fail. You are the God that provides. You're Jehovah Jireh. You're the God of peace. You're Jehovah Shalom. You're the God, our righteous banner. Jehovah Sidkenu. God, You, there's a name for every bit of Your character, God. Would You enlarge our vision of who You are and what You are capable of today? In Jesus' strong name. Come on, give the Lord praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now. We are standing in His presence on holy ground. This is holy ground. Come on, one more time. This is holy ground. We're standing on holy ground. For the Lord is here. We're standing, God, in Your presence. The Word says, in Your presence there's fullness of joy. At Your right hand there are pleasures evermore, God. Give us a divine sense of Your awe, God, as we come before You. Every time we enter into Your gates, God, let us come with thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord. Let us come with expectancy, God. God, You may have a new kidney for us. You may have healing for us. You may have encouragement for us, God. But when we come to You, Lord, we recognize You are holy and we are in need of Your touch, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. God, meet us here today. Speak to us from Your word. Speak to us from Your word. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said amen and amen. God bless you. Smile at somebody before you're seated, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let's go to the moon, somebody. Come on. I would say that our kids ministry department spares no no expense and time, energy, and all of that, and getting ready for Vacation Bible School. Come on. You're getting ready. Look at that. Come on. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. A lot of late nights after people working all day. It's a lot of work. And so join with me in prayer that this week, every time a child steps in this room, every time a child steps in any room, there's the whole facility is dedicated to Vacation Bible School. In fact, our children are downstairs this morning in the Family Life Center because the kids ministry department wants it to be such a surprise for them when they step upstairs tomorrow night and see what's up there. The whole place has been reworked. Hours and hours and hours. Thank you for giving. Thank you for helping them prepare. Thank you for serving. And you say, well, I haven't signed up for anything yet. Just like, hey, see Pastor Miranda or one of the staff today and say, hey, I'm available, Pastor. I'm willing to serve. I can only be here Tuesday night or I can only be here Thursday night. They need your help. They need your help. It's a lot to deal with 100 kids every night. And we're expecting a great crowd this week. I know there's a lot of people vacationing. We can tell today by our numbers. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to get me one of these weeks. Come on, tell them. Tell them, I'm going to get me one. I'm going to get me one. I agree with Pastor Joy. I'm looking for flights across the U.S. right now. Come on. Give me the cheapest seat. Come on. I'm going over there. I got to see that baby. So much for FaceTime. I want to see them little chubby cheeks right up close and personal. Come on. Praise the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for today. Thank you, God, for speaking to us. Thank you for the simplicity of your word. Thank you, God, that today you're going to open gates. You opened one just Friday night at 11 o'clock and said, hey, I'm going to heal a girl named Diane. Thank you for open gates. God, thank you for open gates in this room today. Thank you, for God, for being willing to touch that person who's harboring bitterness, that person who's angry because of something that's just not going their way. Thank you, God, that you're able to set them free and let them recognize that you are alone or God, and you desire to touch all men, all women, all boys, all girls, and that you're standing there with open gates, ready to receive people. God, help us to lay down hardship, difficulties. Help us, God, to lay down our own agendas. Help us to lay them down. Help us to surrender ourselves, God. Who are we? Who are we to cast judgment on somebody else? Father, I pray that you would have your way today among us. Give us an altar that is full at the close of this service with broken hearts. Broken hearts. Say, Lord, I open the gates and I allow you to have your way. In Jesus' strong name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, smile at your neighbor and say, he's going to do it, y'all. He is. He is. He's going to do it, y'all. He is. I'm excited about the word for today. I'm continuing my series on action dynamics. Thank you, worship team. Action dynamics coming from the book of Acts. We've talked about several things in the book of Acts. We left you off the last time, but we had a guest last week from Pakistan, Brother Danish. But prior to that, we left you off with the great experience of the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, and the Holy Spirit was released to the earth. He said, I'll pour out my Spirit upon who? Upon all flesh. Okay? And so those who desire to receive that fullness of the Holy Spirit after salvation, it's available for us. Amen? It's available for us. It's an open gate. The gates are open. And we've been releasing messages to you from that book of Acts, Luke's account of the establishment and the work of the early church. The dynamics of the Holy Spirit at work in the lives of God's people. That's what the scripture bears out to us all. That the Holy Spirit was poured out, here we go, to empower. Somebody say empower. To give you power, to give you the enablement to do the work of Jesus upon this earth. This is not an activity for lazy people. Christianity is not for a bunch of lazy people. We ought to be about the Father's business. Why? Because Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. Come on, your life is supposed to be salty. Amen. Your life is really supposed to bring other lives under conviction when you stand in their presence. I hope some of y'all are going to get this morning. Your life is supposed to be a testament to the cross of Calvary, what God can do to change my life. I'm so glad I got rid of the old me, because the old me would have already been in the grave. I'd have killed myself with alcohol. I would have killed myself by cutting up and carrying on. Some of you are sitting here this morning. You are entangled into things that you shouldn't be entangled with. There's some addicts in this room. Come on. There's some people that do some drinking in this room. Come on, y'all wake up now. I'm gonna let you smell the coffee today. Come on. There's some people in this room. You're playing with your demons. Come on, y'all. Well, I should have stayed home. Well, if you want to leave right now, look, you ain't getting out of this building. The doors are locked, okay? You say, well, that's a safety hazard. It's a safety hazard if you hear this and don't respond. It's a safety hazard. All right. We just sang it. You're standing on what? You're standing on holy ground. And the Lord is here. And where he is, come on, you just sang it from your mouth. Where he is holy. So he's got something from his holy word that he wants to deposit inside of you today. Some of you are playing with sin. Some of you are wrestling with little demons. And you got your Monday through Friday and Saturday demons. And then you come all up in here on Sunday morning and think you just erase everything and go right back to your normal style of living on Monday. It doesn't work that way. God wants you all the time. He wants you all the time. He doesn't want you to have a half-hearted commitment. Well, I don't see anything wrong with just a little bit of this and a little bit of that. A little sin leavens the whole. It's like leaven. It just messes up the whole lump. A little leaven makes the whole cake rise. So you can't play with sin. Well, it's just something I do occasionally. Go ahead and keep on playing with your occasional stuff. And you will become dependent upon those things. Some of y'all are sitting here convicted by the Holy Spirit right now. I'm glad. I think you should be convicted. And you should listen. I'm going to stand before God one day, and I'm going to give an account for whether or not I did the right thing or the wrong thing. Today, I want it to be said of me, Pastor, you did the right thing. Amen. Some of y'all messing with drugs. So quiet in here, I could hear a mouse. So quiet in here, I could hear a mouse. Some of y'all messing with drugs in this room. He's looking at me. Maybe he thinks it's me. I'm not looking at anybody. I'm looking at all of you. But in a room like this with this many people, and there's quite a few people on vacation, but still in a room like this with this many people, there's some people that are messing with drugs. Some of y'all think, well, just because I got a prescription. No, you're dependent upon that prescription. You are. And you don't know what you would do without it. So, well, you know, I enrolled in the Suboxone program. You're still on drugs. I'm getting a little help. The government is helping you to stay on drugs. I know some of y'all don't like that because I got a daughter in the Suboxone program. She's doing good. You know why she's doing good? Because she's still on drugs. Y'all still want to stay? You want to keep on? You want to keep on going? Listen, I'm not going to justify those kinds of things. Yeah, billboards on the highway. Call this number. Call this number. Our tax dollars are keeping people in bondage to drugs. Okay? Our tax money. There's not a whole lot you can do about it. Except stop voting for crooked people. Well, I've been a Democrat all my life. I've been a Republican all my life. I'm not concerned about your party. I'm concerned about your heart. Start voting right things and stop voting your color, stop voting your party, and you might see a change, okay? You might see a change. Beyond Pentecost, opened gates. How many of you have ever been somewhere where the gate was closed? How many of you have ever had anticipation in your heart to go somewhere and you got there? Happened to me yesterday. I told my wife, me and my wife got a few little things we like to do together. together. One of them is go to a movie now and then. And she asked me yesterday morning, we were sitting in our Lazy Boys, which is a regular habit for us. Sitting in there, just coffee. Had a little oatmeal for breakfast, a little coffee. So she looked at me and smiled and said, are we doing anything today? And I thought, you look at me with a smile like that and think that I'm going to say no? I said, sure. What do you want to do? She said, it doesn't matter to me. You know what she told me? She said, I don't care what we do as long as I'm with you. Come on. Girl, you make my light shine. So I said, hey, how would you like to go to a movie? She said, that's good. So I grabbed my phone sitting right there in my chair, and I pulled up the theater. You know, you can buy your tickets right there in your chair. So I pulled it up. Man, Sound of Freedom. Sound of Freedom is sold out. Sound of Freedom sold out in Elizabeth City. You can get a ticket for Tuesday. No, this is Saturday. I want to go today. The gate was what? Closed. So I said, you know what? I'm going to run into Edenton early. That's an older theater. The seats are not as comfortable. No heat, no recliners. Come on. I'm going to see if I can get a ticket for today sometime. And I went in there, hey, have y'all got the Sound of Freedom available? She said, yeah, we've got a few seats left. I said, what time? She said, the 4:10 showing. I said, I'll take two. And I went ahead and bought them early. So they're a little behind the time. You can't go online and buy them from your phone. So I had to drive into town to do that. So I got my tickets. But there was a moment there when what I really wanted to do, the gate was closed. How many of you have had that to happen to you before? Something you really wanted. The shoes on sale, the shirts on sale, the sunglasses are on sale. And when you got there, they were gone. The gate was closed. We don't have any more. It's a frustrating feeling when the gate is closed. But let me tell you something. When the gate is open, when the gate is open, can you imagine Diane's feeling? Who is calling me at 11:30 at night? Mrs. Bazemore, this is Pitt Memorial Hospital. Or how soon can you get here? She's ringing our phone before the sun came up the next morning. 5:30 in the morning. Who's calling? Who's calling? Joy said, it's Diane Bazemore. She answered the phone. And Diane says, Pastor Joy, y'all pray. I'm going in this morning. They've got me a kidney. Guess what happened? The gate, come on, y'all, help me here. The gate opened. Come on, rejoice. The gate is open. Can you imagine the feeling? Can you imagine how she feels not having to drive to dialysis 3 days a week and sit in there for 2 or 3 hours? You see, when you just want to go to the bathroom, you go and you flush and it's over with. But when she needs to get rid of the fluids in her body, she has to get in the car, go to dialysis, sit there for 3 hours several times a week. Come on. This is an open door for her. The gate is open. And I want to submit to you this morning that on the other side of Pentecost, what is really happening here is the gates have been flung wide open. That's what Scripture bears out to us, that the Holy Spirit was poured out to empower you and to empower me so that we might be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ in the earth today. He said, you're going to do works. Jesus said this. Look at his words. John chapter 14, verse number 12. Powerful scripture. I've quoted it 3 or 4 times to you in the last month. John 14, verse 12. I tell you the truth. If you're in the King James, what does it say? Verily, verily, I say unto you. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me. Now, that word belief is strong. That word belief is having a reverential trust and confidence in. Anyone who has a reverential trust and a confidence in me will do the same works I have done. Then here's a parenthetical statement. I'm just studying the Bible out loud. Is that all right, y'all? He says, here's something I want to remind you, that not just works. You won't just do the same that I've done, but an even what? Greater works. I've emphasized that for you on the overhead. It's greater works that you may. Wait a minute. We're going to do things greater than Jesus did. The answer is yes. Greater works than Jesus. He said, you'll do even greater works. The reason for that is because I am going to my Father. And when he goes to his Father, what does he do? He pours out the Holy Spirit upon all flesh. It's not just limited to a certain place at a certain time for a certain person. The Holy Spirit is now available to everyone. And that means that God has a battalion of believers, a battalion, an army of soldiers that are roaming about in the earth, bringing his Spirit and bringing his power and bringing his peace upon situations. I said it before, Jesus is the greatest network marketer our life has ever known. He has empowered the church. And we have to be careful because we can abuse his power. Some of us are abusing his power because we never use his power. Somebody will ask you something. Well, I'll talk to my, I'll pray for you. I'll tell my pastor. No. You pray. Right then, right now. Okay? That's what the whole plan is. Greater works than these shall you do. And in other words, when Jesus sent the helper, when Jesus sent the comforter, when Jesus sent the paraclete, one called alongside you to help you, Jesus was really doing what? He was opening the gates and letting the kingdom of God come. You know, we talked about it when the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. He said, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Here we go. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, there's no kidney problems. Come on, y'all. In heaven, there's no cancer. He said, I want my will to be done on the earth as it is in heaven. And some of y'all sit here sick. Some of you sit here with a diagnosis. Some of you sit here addicted to something. And when the altar service is open, you got the audacity to sit in your seat and walk out of this facility one more time. We ought to come to him and say, Lord, I understand that where I'm standing is holy ground. God, thank you for opening the gates and touching my life. How can we sit? How can we sit and do nothing when opportunity comes? I don't get it. I just don't get it. You work a preacher to death. I don't get it. I've been telling you, listen, some of you say, well, yeah, I've heard him say that 2 or 3 times in the last month. Okay, when are you going to respond? See, I have a little bit of inside information. I know some of you. I know some of you. I know some of your hardships. I know some of your battles. So it really doesn't take the Holy Ghost to reveal anything to me because I know some of you's life. Some of you shared it with me. Some of you shared with me what you're struggling with. And all you've done is tell me, and that's all you've done. When are you going to pour yourself out to the King of Glory? When are you going to say, Lord, I can't live this way anymore. God, you got to change me. When are you going to do that? And thank God for the ones who have. Thank God for the ones who've submitted their life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. All of us want him as Savior, but it's not. A lot of people check out after Savior. They really don't want him as Lord. Because when he's Lord, then you got to lay your little stuff down. Okay? When he's Lord, you can't play with the things that you play with during the week. We have an epidemic in this nation and in this world. Yesterday when I did go to the movie, I'd recommend highly, highly, highly that you go, that you take $10 a piece and a bucket of popcorn and some drinks and go see The Sounds of Glory. The Sound of Freedom. I'm too worried about the glory, sorry. I want the glory to come. The Sound of Freedom. A true story. A real life story. When I came out of the theater yesterday afternoon, the guy that played the part was playing the part of a man by the name of Tim Balance. Ever heard of him? Tim Balance? He was the one who rescued the little girl. He went to the ends of the earth to find her. And somebody stopped me and said, hey, isn't it amazing that Tim Balance comes to Edenton occasionally? I said, what? He said, yeah, he's got something about Edenton. He likes to come here. He was just here a few weeks ago. Tim Balance, the guy who rescued, yeah, he comes to Eden. As a matter of fact,
it took them so much work and money and tenacity to get this film to hit the big screen. They worked on it for 5 years. He said he came to Edenton about 3 years ago and showed the film to us before it ever hit the big screen. Ballard, thank you. Tim Ballard. I'm thinking, wow, you need to spend the money and go see the movie. It's worth it because it's intense. It's heavy, man. It's hard to sit through. It's about children being snatched and taken into sexual slavery. Little girls, little boys, taken as sex slaves. And the sad thing was, as the credits roll at the end and the story's told at the end, it says sadly that the number one nation in the world for sexual trafficking and sexual activity is the United States of America. The land of the free, the home of the brave, but it's so corrupt in our political situations, so corrupt, so filled with corruption and sin. We're in need, folks. We're in need of revival. And guess what? Judgment needs to begin where? In the house of the Lord. The Bible says it should start where? Right here, in the house of the Lord. That's why you say, Pastor's been rough on me today. No, I'm called to be rough on you. Some of y'all are playing with things you don't have any business playing with. You just keep listening to the same messages about how God loves you and repentance and give it to the Lord and deliverance and freedom, and you sit there like, oh well. The question is, when are you going to respond? Well, I just hate to get up in front of everybody. I'm sure Jesus hated to get up in front of everybody too. Okay? I'm sure he did. I'm sure he didn't appreciate standing there naked before the whole world. But he was able to say, it is finished. He died for everything you're struggling with. He died for it. We have to understand that Jesus Christ is alive and well today, and he has given us the power of the Holy Spirit. The answer to life's complex situations came to people when Jesus was on this earth, and now that he's released the power and the dynamics to us, can I just tell you something? Nothing should change. We should still be seeing people healed. We should still be seeing people delivered. We should still be seeing people set free to become all that God intended for them to become. My friend Ben Blystone here. Ben, I'm just going to use an example because you're just a great example. Ben gave his heart to Jesus Christ many, many years ago. But Ben reached a place where he said, you know what, Pastor? He said, I just need to come clean here. I just need to come clean with Jesus. He gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ at this altar one Sunday morning a few months back. He went down into the waters of baptism. And he busted my phone up every day. Hey, Pastor Wallace, how you doing? He's texting me, calling me. You know, he asked for things, you know, what should I be studying? And then Ben called me one day. It's been about probably a month ago now. I don't even know if you remember Ben, but he called me one day. He said, Pastor Wallace, I got something to tell you. I said, what's that? He said, something's lifted off of me. I said, what? He said, man, I've been plagued with this spirit that has been just on me for so many years. And in Ben's words, Ben said, Pastor Wallace, something has lifted off of me. Okay? Come on, man. Guess what? The gate is open, okay? The gate is open in his life where the Spirit of God now comes in. The Spirit of God comes in and does what the Spirit of God does. He convicts, he restores, he renews, he empowers, he equips. He does all of these things. Man, God is such an amazing God. Amazing thing. In fact, we have stories in the Bible. We have stories in the Bible where people's lives were a wreck. transformation came to a woman one day at the well. You know the story. A mixed race woman who intentionally said, I can't go out there and get water early morning when everybody else is going to get water. I'm going to wait until the middle of the day when everybody's already got their water, and then I don't have to be criticized because I'm a mixed breed, or I don't have to be ridiculed because I'm a Samaritan. I just get to stay away from people, and I don't have to be accountable to anyone. But how many of you know that sometimes God will set you up and you will meet him in the most inopportune time at the most inopportune place? And Jesus shows up to the woman at the well in Samaria, and he taught her about living water. Her life was a wreck. She'd been through a host of men, one after another. After five failed marriages, she said, you know what? I'm not wasting money getting a preacher and renting a church to get married. I'm just going to live with the next one. Okay? So she's shacking up with a man, like some of y'all are doing. I said, she's shacking up with somebody like some of y'all are doing. Okay? That's the reason I had to put another ring on my finger this morning. I had to switch the one off of my right hand and put it on my left hand because somehow yesterday I felt naked. And Joy said, what's wrong? I said, my wedding band's gone. And y'all know I don't have an expensive wedding band because I told you, if you get them at Walmart, 3 for $10. They're silicone rings, okay? But I'm so rough on them. I've worn two out in 42 years. I just said, honey, I don't need that. I just need a reminder that you and I are in covenant. So I took the ring off my right hand, the ring she gave me when we were in high school, $99 on an Avon sale. Come on. I still got it, y'all. It's a black onyx. And I stuck it on my left hand because even after 42 years, I need to be reminded every day, boy, you under covenant, okay? You under covenant. Listen, you made a covenant with that woman, okay? I'm just telling you, we need to understand that that's what marriage is. Marriage is a relationship between a man and a woman, okay? Goes against the grain of where we are in our culture today, don't it? You say, well, I wish he wouldn't say that because, you know, me and my significant other are married. Well, you're not going to receive God's blessings. You're not. You can't, because you got married outside of his covenant. His covenant is a man and a woman, okay? And so that's a covenant relationship. Until death do us part. And somebody said, man, now I feel really bad because I'm just like the woman at the well. I done been through three and I'm looking for a fourth. Well, listen, get something right, okay? Get something right in your heart, and let's make sure that this next one is going to be the one that's going to take you all the way to the end, okay? And if you are living with somebody, that's sin, and God judges sin. Y'all the quietest bunch of Pentecostal people I've ever seen in my life. That's sinful. That's inviting the devil to come in and have his way in your life. So you can't do that. What do you have to do? Call me. I do weddings. Here, dearly beloved, we're gathered here in the sight of God in this company, join together this man and this woman. I've done it hundreds of times in 42 years. Do you take? Yes, yes. By the power vested in me in the state of North Carolina and a licensed minister of the gospel, I now pronounce that you are husband and wife. Adam, Eve, not Adam and Steve. Y'all got it? You got it? I said Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. This is the church of the 21st century. This is where we are. Okay? So you have to get rid of those things that are an encumbrance to you. Okay? It's just the truth. Well, Pastor, you hurt my feelings. I'm sorry. Sorry I hurt your feelings. But one day I'm going to stand before God and I'm going to give an account to him, not to you, about what I preach. Okay? And he's gonna be able to say to me, hopefully, well done, good and faithful servant. Okay? This lady's life was changed. Jesus gave her living water, and it wasn't long before she said, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. We've just been studying the gifts of the Spirit, and Jesus shows up in the power of the Spirit of God, gives her a word of knowledge,
gives her a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, and her life is changed. Jesus just had a way of changing lives one at a time. One woman at the well, one prodigal son who squandered everything his father gave him, one man with the withered hand that Jesus touched him and healed him, one blind Bartimaeus who sat by the roadside begging, one woman with an issue of blood, one stinking dead man named Lazarus who'd been dead for 3 days, and he goes to the tomb and says, "Lazarus, come forth!" And he raised him from the dead. One person at a time. One here, one there, one everywhere. That's what he wants to do today. He wants to swing open the gates in your circumstances and allow you to walk in and be his hands and be his feet and be his deliverance and be his salvation and be his healing. That's what he wants. God wants to move in your circumstance. Those on the back line can tell you, I hadn't even started preaching my message yet. And I'm going to stop right here. Because I'm going to open this altar. I got pages left. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I got 6 pages of notes left, but so what? I'm going to stop right here because I feel the Holy Spirit is saying to us, open the gate. You've heard enough already. You've heard enough to hold you accountable. Some of you are living with a stronghold in your life. A stronghold is something that has you bound. I remember when I was farming. I remember when we put the tractor on the trailer. We were getting ready to haul it from one block of acreage to another. And my boss would say to me, hey, Wally. Don't call me that. My name's Wallace, but he called me Wally. Hey, Wally, go bring me the binder. You know where I'm going, don't you? And we would take that chain and we would connect it, and then we would take a link and put it around, put that hook around one link here and one link on the bottom, and you would have to, man, you had to get a piece of pump pipe. Come on. I'm a country boy. I know what I'm talking about. You had to get a piece of pump pipe and put it on the end of that binder, and you would just pull with all your might and pop. Sometimes you might have to adjust it a link or so because you might not be able to bind it down. But you would bind that tractor down, here we go, so it's going nowhere. It's going where? Nowhere. Why? Because it's bound. And then when you get it to the place where you're going, and you take that same piece of pump pipe, okay, and you slide it in there on the end, and you pop like that, and that tractor goes... That tractor, the pressure in those tires, you know, can inflate back to where they were. Because before you had it bound. There's some bound in this room this morning. And you know what? I'm going to stand before God one day. I understand I am. But I'm not going to miss this. I'm going to go for it. Because, you know, what's another sermon anyway? I got 5 points. If you want them, hit me a text message. I'll send you the whole sermon word for word. It's a good one. But I want you, and you know that you've got something in your life that's binding you. I want you to stand to your feet right now. Stand up. Stand up in the name of Jesus. If you don't, I declare the judgment of God's going to come upon you. If you don't give it to the Lord, if you don't give it to Him, the judgment of the Lord be upon you. Alcoholic, playing with drugs, smoking pot, selling dope. I don't care what it is. You repent right now and give it to the Lord. Or I pray the judgment of God visit you in a matter of days. Can I just tell you something? The gates are open. Go ahead to the altar. Go ahead. Come on, this is the gates are open. If you stood, stand up and get to the altar. Don't sit back down. Don't miss it. You know there's something binding you, and you can't go anywhere because you're bound. There's more people than that. You're playing with demons, little things. You think you got it under control. You don't have it under control. It has control of you. That's why you're trying to make a deal with the devil. He's trying to make a deal with you. Those of you at the altar, go ahead and lift your hands and just give it to the Lord. Just release it to him. You done made the step now. You're running to home. You're running home free. There you go. They're still coming. Come on, there's more. There's more people. You just, Pastor, you just don't know, man. Today is a day that could go down in history as a day that your life was transformed and revolutionarily changed. Today, that day, I'll never forget it. You don't have to worry about that sexual addiction anymore. You don't have to worry about that drug addiction anymore. You don't have to worry about the lying, the stealing, the cheating anymore. You don't have to cover anything up because today your life was transformed by the power of God. Come on. I can wait. We got all day. Hallelujah. There you go. One by one. One by one. One by one.
Open the floodgates of heaven.
Come on. Give it to him. Give it to him. The gates are open. The gates are open.
Let it rain.
The gates are open.
Open the floodgates of heaven.
Pornography. Cocaine. Alcohol. Whatever it is. Whatever it is, give it to him. I need some Holy Spirit-filled ministers to come and stand behind some of these. Don't stand in front of them. Stand behind them. Stand behind them. Go ahead and begin to pray and intercede in their behalf. Let it rain, let it rain, let it rain.
Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain.
Come on, God's still dealing with some of you. God's still dealing with some of you. Let's move. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Open, 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 open. open, open. Hallelujah. Open gates. Open gates. Curse right now in the name of Jesus. I break the spirit of bondage, Lord, that has come and visited this man, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I break it. I break it. I break it. I break it right now in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, God. Be set free in Jesus' name. Be set free, God. Hallelujah. Let him fill you. Let him fill you. Give it to him. Let him fill you. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we just come against any spirit, God, that has troubled my brother, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We take authority over it. We cast it down. We sever that thing, God, in the name of Jesus. Be gone now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Church, worship him. Worship him. Stand up and worship him. Come on. Stand up and worship God. Worship God. Worship God. Come on. Praises go up. Glory comes down. Hallelujah. Come on, let something come from your lips. The fruit of praise and worship. Let something, the sacrifice of praise, come from your lips today. Magnifying God, honoring God. What you're doing is releasing His presence that these people need, Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your glory. Thank you for your power. In the name of Jesus. Shiva Baba Bakura Basata. I surrender all to you, Lord. Everything. Everything I give to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I surrender. Hallelujah. I surrender everything. Everything. Sharing with you this morning. We've run into around the altar this morning. We've run into several. I don't usually pray with that many people, but I ran into several circumstances that the Holy Spirit shared with me. This is a generational thing. A generational curse. Listen to this. A generational curse is a habit. Somebody say habit. Or behavior. Say behavior. A habit or a behavior that has been passed from one generation to another. Have you ever known a severe alcoholic and you grew up in that, in this area? You say, well, yeah, he's got it bad. Then he said, but you know, it's not surprising because what? Because his daddy was like that. Okay. The daddy was like that. Parents strive to make sure that the life that they lead will help their children live a better one. Children practice what they have learned. It's not much. It's just a little social. Then don't get upset when they just start taking a little social and they turn into a full-fledged alcoholic and die in a car wreck. You know whose fault it was? Yours. Because you passed along. Oh, that's okay. That's okay. Pastor, I don't like it when you talk like this. I'm not asking you to like me. Because you liking me is not considered success to me. Are you hearing me? I already stepped out in the hallway because I saw one leave. And I said, oh, you're turning the wrong way, bud. That way. You need to turn this way. Go that way. You're going the wrong way. You're going out the door. It's conviction. Okay? No, I'm good. I'm good. I said, I don't think you are. And you know what? Chances are I possibly offended him. I'll have a conversation with him this week. If I offended you, I'm sorry for the offense. But I must do what? I must follow the Holy Spirit. Okay? I would have loved to preach that message to you this morning. I would have. There's some disappointing things that I have about my childhood. Anybody join me in that? I've got some disappointing things. And there was a season in my life, and you can relate to this. There was a season in my life when I began to speak, I sounded like my who? My daddy. And I thought, man, I don't want that. That's the thing about my dad that I did not like. And so it's my responsibility. Somebody say my responsibility. It's my responsibility to break that. I sever that. I break that. I will not live this way. I will not be this way. This is a very wicked culture which we live in. This little device right here has ushered hell into some of your lives. Some of you don't need this. Some of you need to get you a flip, okay? You need to just go back to a flip. Because you know that you can't handle it. That's why you get to your secret place and you got that thumb working. Then you say, when you finish, you say, well, I'm not going to do that no more. And then tomorrow you do it again. Somebody say, curse. You can't handle it. You ought to read the book one day, Every Man's Battle. Every Man's Battle. And that's why your phone is just inundated with all these kinds of things. And some of y'all spend, if you spent the time reading the Bible and praying that you spend looking at TikTok videos, Ahoskie would be a righteous city. Okay? I believe we got some work done this morning, but I don't believe we got it all. Okay? I don't believe we got it all. And I'm warring, you know, as a pastor. I'm standing here going through this message, and I'm thinking, man, you need to leave them notes alone. You just need to get out of there and open the gates. Maybe I can preach that message another Sunday. But today we needed to do that. Generational curses. You take authority over those things that are appearing in your lives, and you know your dad did it, your mama did it, or whatever. You take authority over those things. Well, I don't see anything wrong with it. You're lying to yourself. You're lying to yourself. And what you do as a parent, you are showing your children how they should live as a Christian. Everything they see you do, they assume that that's just, man, that's good. My daddy, he's a Christian. Okay? These are challenging times. You know, I don't enjoy days like today. I don't enjoy days like today. Because nobody's going to pat me on the back when I say, hey, Pastor, good word, man. Love that sermon. And all y'all going to walk to your car angry. Okay? Guess what? I love you too. Okay? But here's the thing. I'm responsible. I'm not coming here to make you happy, make you feel good about yourself. Okay? So you think about that the next time you lay down in the bed with somebody you're not married to. Think about it next time you pop a top on something. You know good and well it's not God's will for you to do that, or whatever you're doing. You think about it. Your blood's not going to be on my hands. It's not going to be on my hands. Because I'm going to tell you the truth, and the truth sets you free. Okay? Ben, thank you, man, for a testimony. Thank you for your testimony. Your testimony was a factor this morning, okay? Diane's testimony was a factor this morning. Open gates, okay? Open gates. I want to live with the gate wide open. The Holy Spirit is free to come and go and govern and guide and help and empower and equip and restore and transform and change. He can do it. Listen, it's a steady work. It's a steady work. Father, in Jesus' name, I just want to say thank you, Lord, for open gates. Thank you, God, for the leadership of the Holy Spirit upon this service today to invade our plans, to upset our cart. And Lord, we welcome you to do whatever you want to do. Thank you that you have biblical examples of how you touch lives one person at a time. You did your work, and you want us to do ours. Thank you for deliverance today. Thank you for freedom today. Thank you for salvation today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here today If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I gave my life to Christ, it could have been a renewal, or just raise your hand if you just say, hey, Pastor, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ today afresh. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We rejoice. We rejoice. Listen, prepare for this week. This is going to be an incredible week for kids. It's going to be exhausting for adults. Okay? It's going to be exhausting. It's going to be very tough for you to work a 9-to-5 and be at the church at 6 o'clock ready to go. You're going to be worn out. You're going to be so tired of McDonald's fries and Happy Meals. But it's going to be worth it because you're going to invest in the lives of young people. Okay? You're training a what? A generation on the things of God. You know, I have memories about Vacation Bible School. One of my fondest memories is the snack. We used to have those little cookies that you could put on your finger, you know, little butter cookies. Now I can't get them on my finger. My fingers are too big. But I used to fill my fingers up with those little butter cookies. And we went to the window and got our little plate. There was only two cookies on there, man. I need to get a whole line in the package now. But that was my fondest memory of Vacation Bible School, is getting that little snack. Amen. That little snack. So, Father, we bless our efforts today. For Vacation Bible School, I plead the blood of Christ over this property. I come against any spirit that would try to show up and invade what we're doing. I bind the forces of hell against Vacation Bible School. I speak peace and blessing and favor and health and healing over every volunteer. And Lord, I just commission and release a host of volunteers to serve you honorably this week. And Lord, I thank you for a transforming week in the hearts and the lives of little children who so desperately need to know who Jesus is. And we give you praise for it. In your name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Fellowship among yourselves as you leave today. God bless you. Thank you, sir.